All right. Well, let's travel together over to the islands. And let me tell you about how the work is going there. For those of you who may be new in the congregation, we're in Micronesia, which is the South Pacific Islands around Guam. And we moved from Saipan to Palau in March of this year. And brethren, because the congregation in Saipan was ready to stand on its own. And so we were thankful for that move. You know, a church really has a few different stages of development. And you could describe this in a number of ways. But you might say that in the beginning, those initial baptisms are very important. And then moving on, they've got to grow spiritually. And then taking the third step is where they really need to be developing leaders. And in the fourth stage of it, they really don't need us anymore. And that's the goal. That's the point that we want to get to in our work. And that's the point that Saipan is at. So, brethren, we're very thankful that they don't need us anymore. And we were glad to be able to move to Palau and start working full-time with the congregation there. The average attendance in Saipan is about 60. And the attendance in Palau, between 5 and 15. And so here we go. Now we're on track. So you'll travel with me then together over to the Northwest Pacific. Really, we're in the Southwest, South Pacific, but this is the northwest corner of the South Pacific. And here's my family. They are here with me this morning. But imagine with me that we're sitting on a balcony there in Palau. And brethren, it's hot because we're fairly close to the equator, even closer than here, even closer than you would be in the Keys here in Florida. And our temperature in the summertime will be 95 around in there, and then in the wintertime, 75. And so in the winter, like here, it's really a very nice place to be. But brethren, it's hot there much of the time, and there will be flies maybe buzzing around your feet and some gnats maybe around your head. You're sitting there in an old wood chair, and this is a balcony that is in Palau. You see the view out one side is not very good, just some old dilapidated buildings and some cars needing repair. And you may wonder, well, why are we sitting here on this balcony trying to enjoy something? Well, you look out the other side, and what a beautiful view. And that's why we're sitting on this balcony here this morning. Well, brethren, it's a gift from God. James 1:17 tells us that every good thing, every perfect thing that we have in our lives comes down from the Father of lights. And brethren, we don't want to miss a view like this because of the heat or the gnats or the flies or the wood chair or the view out the other side. We don't want to miss the good things because of a few minor inconveniences. Amen? Well, imagine with me that we're on a plane, we're going over to Palau, and you're going to come out with me on a campaign for maybe 1 or 2 weeks. And you know, when you're sitting there on an airplane, there are 2 7-hour flights to get to Palau. In fact, the trip in total is a 24-hour trip. But as you're sitting there on those 2 7-hour flights, you're in coach, brethren, and it's going to be very crowded. And you may think, well, why are we sitting here for these long flights in this very sardine-crowded kind of situation. But if you think about that flight, then you remember you've got your own drop-down table that you can use, individual reading light, individual fan. There's a bathroom you can use that you don't have to clean. There's a flight attendant constantly bringing you something to eat, something to drink, snacks between the meals, taking away the trash. And on those larger planes, brethren, there's even a video screen in the back seat of the headrest in front of you where the children can watch movies and television shows. There's different channels of music you can listen to, even video games to be played there. And so we come down to this basic principle of life. We don't want to miss the good things because of a few minor inconveniences. Now, that's true on the balcony. It's true on the airplane. It is true in life in general. But brethren, it's definitely true in mission work. It's definitely true in mission work. Now, we're going to come back to that thought in a few minutes. We've had 19 baptisms since we were with you last. We report every 2 years. And brethren, we are very thankful for those baptisms. We enjoy doing the studies beforehand. We enjoy doing the studies afterward. We always do follow-up studies with our new converts there in the islands. But brethren, this morning, we want to focus on another part of the work. The baptisms are good, but there's another just as vital part of the work, and that is the spiritual growth that has to take place afterwards. You know, if there are many, many, many baptisms, but no spiritual growth that follows, well, the work will not prosper and it will not go forward. We've got to be sure that these brethren are growing spiritually, that they are developing in the faith. For example, they are growing in their Bible knowledge. They're growing in their love for one another. They're growing in faith. All these things work together. They're growing in faith so that they will have the strength to last when temptation comes, when times of high stress come. And so that spiritual growth is what we really want to focus on in our report this morning. Here we are in Saipan. This is Mama Rook being baptized. She was terrified of that water. But she got her courage up so that she could have her sins washed away. She knew that it was vital and had to be. And these are some pictures of some of the brethren in Chuuk being baptized. Here's Kevin Barbo in Saipan. Saipan is the more modern of the three different island countries that we've been working with. Palau would be a step down from Saipan, and then Chuuk is really a third world state, being several steps down from Palau. Well, here we are in Chuuk, and our new brother Edgar writes a note when he wanted to be baptized. He says, "I want to be," and likely did not know how to write the English word baptism, and so we put it in Chuukese and said, "I want papates." So we rejoiced over that, and this is Edgar's baptism. Edgar is one of those men who got involved right away after his baptism in preaching and teaching. The second Sunday after his baptism, he was up in that pulpit. Well, the regular preacher there in Chuuk, Hermes Cholame, had to help him with the lesson, but still, brethren, he's in there and he's doing it. And there is, I'll say, really no better way to be growing in the faith than to be involved with teaching and helping others. And so we're thankful for that. And we try to get our brethren involved as heavily as we can, as soon as we can, without putting too much on them, you know what I mean. Well, let's look at Saipan then. And like I mentioned earlier, we moved from Saipan to Palau in March of this year because this congregation was larger. They have several men who are able to preach and to teach, to set up one-on-one Bible studies, to perform the baptism, to do the follow-up studies afterwards. And brethren, they just didn't need us anymore. And God be thanked, we could go where we were more needed. Now, the congregation in Saipan, since we left, has been holding steady, holding strong, and we are thankful to God for that. This is Boyet Cabaluna there in Saipan. He's the preacher. He's a Filipino man and a very tender-hearted man, a very gracious man. This is their building, and they paid it off in September of this year, which is good because the church there has been struggling financially for several years, and Boyet's salary on average has been behind 2 months over the past 3 years. Well, brethren, in a situation like that, we don't just go in and rescue them from that financial burden, but rather let them struggle through it and figure out what they need to do to balance it out, because they're an autonomous congregation, brethren, and every congregation has to know how to do that. And if we went in, yes, sir, and if we went in and just spent American funds to rescue them whenever they were having financial trouble, we'd be doing them a disservice, because they wouldn't know how to stand on their own feet. Now that we're gone, they have to be on their own. Well, they know how to do it because they've been doing it for several years. Since we were with you last, we had a baby. Tammy's doctor in Saipan encouraged her to come to the States to have that baby because the previous birth was a cesarean section, and then this was going to be a natural birth, which makes it more risky and complicated. And so they sent her to the States. There's not a general surgeon in Saipan, and there's an inadequate blood supply in Saipan, so any complications could go very badly. Tammy came to the States for the birth. She and Noah came 2.5 months before the birth. Nina and I joined them 1 month before the birth. Everything went swimmingly. We went back to Saipan and started packing for the move to Palau. Everything we owned went into a 40-foot shipping container. And brethren, they told us that it would take 3 weeks for that container to arrive in Palau. Well, it arrived in 3 days. 3 days. They went with a different boat than they said they would. And so, brethren, it was good. It was good to have all of our things there sooner. However, you have to have a place to put a 40-foot shipping container, right? And we were in a hotel room looking for a house to lease. Foreigners cannot own property in the islands. We can only lease property, though you can get long-term leases. Well, we'll travel over to Palau now. And this dark area that you see in the center of the globe, these are the Pacific Islands. And now we're going to zoom down in on Palau. And you'll see six islands. The four northern islands are connected by bridges. And the large one on top is Babeldaw. And it is the second largest island in Micronesia. But the people don't live there. They live crowded down on these three southern islands because the seaport is located here. And brethren, it is very crowded. All of the buildable land has been built up. There is no affordably buildable land left. And it is difficult to build something new and difficult to find a house. In all of our searching for a house, we looked at three different places, but the Lord blessed us. This one here with the red roof is our house. And brethren, we were blessed enough to find one at the right price range and with a yard, and it's in a secure location. I travel 1 week every 2 months to Chuuk, and so the family needs to be safe and secure. Well, the Lord just really, really blessed us, brethren, to find that house. So we got moved in, settled in. This is that northern island. And brethren, lots of land, but the people don't live there. They just want to be close to the businesses and everything down on those three southern islands. I told you there's no land. Brethren, there are no mailboxes, there are no addresses in the islands. And if you want to get your mail, you have to get a post office box, and then you go to check it at the post office. Well, there's a problem. They ran out of post office boxes years ago. There is a 5 to 7 year waiting list for a post office box. Say, well, they should build a new post office. Yes, they should, but there's no land, and so there's no room for a new post office. And so anybody new to the island gets their mail general delivery. We go to the back window of the post office and say, anything for treat today? And they go check, and if so, then bring us our mail. And so it's different. Let me tell you a little more about life in Palau, and there's a spiritual application coming from these things. Everything that comes into Palau comes by shipping container, and except for letters on an airplane in the mail, and just a few things will come by air. But most everything spends 3 weeks in a shipping container to get there, including food, and so that raises the cost of those things. What you just saw were pictures of lemon trees on our property. Brethren, we drink a lot of fresh-squeezed lemonade. We don't drink a lot of soda because of the cost of those things. But you see, it's not that it's worse. Someone will say, Joey, is it bad living in a place that's less modern? No, brethren, it's not bad. It's just different. It's different. We don't have a movie theater or a mall there in Palau, but there are other wonderful things like those lemon trees. And wouldn't you rather have fresh squeezed lemonade as opposed to Coke all the time? Yes. So these are some of the unique things. Here is a supermarket, the produce section of one of the grocery stores there. About 50% of the selection that you have. But they don't know what all the things are. We picked up a grapefruit-looking item, and it has the color and texture maybe of a avocado. And so we took it up to the cashier and said, "What is this?" And she looked at it and said, "I don't know." And so, yes. So she gave it to the bagger boy, and he took it to the manager, and he came back and said the manager did not know what it was. And it was likely a Japanese fruit or vegetable. They have the Japanese come over as tourists there in Palau, and they probably carried it for them, but the islanders did not know what it was. Isn't that interesting? If I say fish fingers to you, then you may think of the little frozen fish sticks, but not so in Palau. There's an abundance of fresh fish, and if you go order fish fingers, which is one of the cheaper meals in Palau, they consider it a kid's meal, actually. It will be fresh-caught tuna or mahi-mahi from that morning or the night before that they have filleted and fried, bring to your table. And there's just an abundance of it, brethren, at an affordable price. And so we're thankful for things like this in Palau, and we try to take advantage of these blessings that really the Lord has made available. Other things that are unique about Palau, if you want cough drops, you'll have to go to the candy aisle. Somewhere along the way, they got the idea, probably because of the size and the way they're wrapped, that cough drops are candy. So you'll go to the candy aisle. You know, sometimes at the worship services, some people will hand out candy to the children. Our children come home with Hall's Mentholyptus.
That's right.
Okay. You can't sue a restaurant because the coffee was too hot in Palau. The population is 21,000, 6,000 of which are foreigners. And so, brethren, there's a lot more common sense in the legal system. Forgive me for saying it that way, but that's the way that it is. And, brethren, it's refreshing. It's good that way. The highest speed limit in Palau is 25 miles an hour. And so imagine with me driving 1 or 2 years at 25 miles an hour and then coming and getting on the interstates here in the U.S., a little bit different. That was Marilyn that you saw a moment ago, and she's Filipino. There's a language barrier, and for the Filipinos, English will be their third language, and for the Palauans, English is their second language. English is the common language in Palau, so we're able to teach in it, but we have to go slow sometimes and be very careful. For example, if you wanted to study Colossians 2:14, you'd have to define the word handwriting, define the word requirements, and define the word contrary. And then after defining those words, reread the verse with the person and explain what they mean. The handwriting of requirements is the old law. Jesus fulfilled it, ended it, and has brought in the new law. And all the while, have to really watch the person's face to see if they're following what it is that you're saying. Because if you ask them, do you understand, they will say yes. No matter if they do or not, they'll say yes as a matter of respect and courtesy to you. And so, brethren, we really go slow and we ask open-ended questions like, do you understand, what is the handwriting of requirements? And then they can answer that, and then we really know whether or not they understand what it is that we're saying. They are good-hearted people. They're very respectful people, which also is good and refreshing. There are restaurants in Palau, but no U.S. restaurants. No chain restaurants, no fast food restaurants. They are all mom-and-pop shop type restaurants. But brethren, they're good. In fact, our favorite Indian restaurant anywhere on the earth is located there in Palau. Most of these restaurants will have island choices, Korean choices, Japanese choices, and then American choices. And it is different, but it is good. Well, let me take you then over to the worship services there at the Palau Church of Christ. The brethren are wonderful. Most of them are babes in Christ. We were so very blessed to be able to get the building in the location where we did. I told you land is hard to come by. And for foreigners, just very, very expensive and very hard to find down where the people are. Well, we were able to get a sublease from a Palauan lady who had leased some land from the government, and we got a three-way lease between her and the government and us. And brethren, just almost unheard of in a very unique and special situation, you see the Lord's blessing in it very, very readily. Well, we have a great location on the main island, right behind one of the main businesses, and just really a blessing. But the brethren are babes in Christ. They are all coming out of Catholicism, which means that their Bible knowledge is low, brethren. They don't know things like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the 12 patriarchs, the order of those names. They do not have the reserve of Bible knowledge that you would have maybe if you grew up in the church or if you grew up going to Sunday school through your life. They don't have that. If we say Colossians 2:14, 90% of the church will turn first to the table of contents to see where the book of Colossians is, then over to the book. And so they are babes in Christ. But brethren, that's a good place to be working with the people because we can get them started with good Bible study habits early in their Christian life, which can see them through the rest of their Christian life. And brethren, it's good to work with them at this beginning level. Every Sunday morning, the first thing we do in Bible class is sing the books of the New Testament song, the children's song. We'll sing it 5 or 6 times every Sunday morning. Then we do a memory verse, hand out a card, and encourage them to memorize it and say it. And brethren, it's working. It's coming along in order to build that Bible knowledge. They need those verses in their minds and in their hearts so that they have them to call on whenever difficult times come. Let's travel then over to Chuuk together. The congregations in Chuuk, there are two of them, are larger than the ones in Palau. In Palau, we'll have between 5 and 15 on Sunday morning. In Chuuk, there will be maybe 20 in each of the two congregations. And the brethren in Chuuk have been members of the church longer than the brethren in Palau, but still, they are growing in Christ. And the need in Chuuk right now is for leaders. And you remember we talked about baptisms and then the need for spiritual growth, the need to develop leaders, and then they can stand on their own. Chuuk is at the point of developing leaders. But brethren, it really goes against their culture to have more than one leader because they live in villages. And they are many years behind as far as modern technology goes. And brethren, they are in a village, a tribal kind of system, and they have a chief to that village, and he is the leader. And so in the church, we need more than one man to visit those who maybe weren't there on Sunday or to lead in the worship service. Well, it goes against their culture. And so we have to go slowly and teach and encourage them to take those leadership roles. And brethren, it's happening. Here in Chuuk, we had a campaign in 2009 and another in 2010. These are some of the video clips that you're seeing right now. But brethren, these campaigns help us with the baptisms, the spiritual growth, and in developing those leaders. And so they're coming. Over the last 3 years, this has been our main focus in Chuuk, and we've had several men to step up and be ready to take on more responsibility in the church and to do that teaching. And so we are thankful it is coming. Slowly, brethren, but steadily it is coming. Now, someone will ask, aren't tuberculosis and hepatitis common in Chuuk? And they are. But the Chuukese will not go to the doctor, brethren, until they have to because they have a fear of it. They still believe in magic, in black magic. And in Chuukese, the word for black magic and the word for medicine are virtually the same word, just a little bit of difference between them. And so in their minds, these things are closely associated. And so they believe in the magic. And brethren, we teach them that there's no such thing as that black magic. We teach them that all power, of course, that's on the earth comes from God, and it's not in the hands of the voodoo doctor, and it's not in the hands of the witch doctor. And it's in the hands of God. It's in the power of prayer. Amen. That's where our healing is coming from today, through prayer. Well, brethren, it takes time for them to change their minds about those voodoo doctors and those witch doctors and to trust the medical doctors. So they don't go to the doctor when they're sick, and it's easy to tell when they're sick, and therefore it's easy for me to avoid those kinds of dangerous situations. Tammy and the children do not go to Chuuk with me. They stay there in Palau. Well, the children in Chuuk are like your children. They don't want to eat their vegetables. Now, in Chuuk, you have about 10 different foods. They eat rice and spam, as their primary food is rice, and then they have spam when they can. Other foods would be bananas, papaya, tapioca and taro in the ground, breadfruit in the trees, and then, of course, fish in the ocean. That's really the main sources of food that they have. And so the children don't want to eat the taro and the tapioca. They want to eat just rice. And they will cry to mommy and daddy, please let me only have the rice today. And I don't want to know, brethren, how many of the Chuukese children literally eat only rice. But this is Edgar's daughter. That's the side of Edgar's face that you see there. And this little girl is permanently blind in her right eye because of a vitamin A deficiency by the age of 2. We teach them about proper nutrition and about proper sanitation, many of them still using outhouses, as we can. But you know, they have a great many needs. Food is one of them. Clothing, eyeglasses. Sometimes the congregations here in the States will send out boxes of clothes to the brethren in Chuuk, and that's a blessing. Or eyeglasses or Bibles, something like that. But their greatest need is the Word. You could go into Chuuk and you could buy them all a brand new house, all the food they needed for the rest of their life, a brand new car, a brand new boat. You could buy them all those things, but if you did not teach them the Bible, brethren, you would not really have helped these people. And so we keep our main focus on teaching the Word. And you know, that helps with all of the other things that they are struggling with. Some of the people will not plant their gardens and grow the tapioca and taro. And so then they're hungry. And then they'll come to us and say, Joey, can you please buy us some food? But brethren, if they're members of the church and they're studying that Bible, they read about diligence, they read about preparing for the future, and they'll do those things. So being a Christian and following the principles of the Bible will help their lives, not only in that instance, but in so many, not to mention the blessings of God when we ask for help, but so many ways the Bible will help them to be both better as individuals and better as a people. When they come to me and ask for food, I'm very limited in what I can do because, you know, every culture has characteristics of that culture. And the Chukis, one of the characteristics of them is that they're a jealous people. Now, I hate to say that because I love them dearly, and I don't want to tell you just the negative things about my friends here. But one of the qualities of the people is that they'll be jealous of one another. And if I were to buy a 50-pound bag of rice, be $30, and it would feed one of these larger families for maybe 7 to 10 days. If I were to do that for one family in the church and not do it for another, oh, there'd be problems. There'd be problems. And so we can't do that. The solution is for them to grow those crops. They can do that and they can prepare, and then they don't have to create jealousy situations by getting food from us, from me. And so, brethren, we tell them when they come and ask for food, we say, brother, sister, very gently and very kindly, please go to the ocean and get the fish there. There's plenty of it there, brethren. The waters are overfished, but there's fish in those waters and they can catch them, even if they haven't prepared in other ways. And so these are some of the unique things and the different things about our good and loving brethren there in Chuuk. You know, the islanders, especially the Chukis, they don't have the material things, which means they focus on other things, right? They focus more on relationships. They focus more on spiritual things. And that's what people do when they don't have the physical things. And so it's wonderful to be with them. They're good-hearted, and they will get in your heart, and you will find, and you will get in their hearts very quickly, and it's really, really delightful. One of the best things about working with the churches in the islands is, brethren, you have just the New Testament church, and they are just following that New Testament, and that's what you get. We don't have problems in the islands with one-cup congregations or non-institutionalism, with instrumental music. We don't have problems with a new hermeneutic, none of that. It is just the New Testament church based on that New Testament, and it's beautiful. It is very, very precious to see. And so we hope that you will come with us out to the islands and see it and get to see one of the most beautiful things that you've ever seen. Now, it's not beautiful physically. It's beautiful spiritually. And brethren, it's a delight to see. So we hope that you will come. The memory verses, how do the brethren respond? They respond beautifully. One of our brothers, Emmy, in Palau, was telling me about a fight that he was resolving between his landlord and another tenant. And he made reference to Hebrews 12:14, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. And brethren, that's one of our memory verses. And so here we have Emmy quoting this back to me, using it in his life. Brethren, they're working. They're putting them in their minds and hearts and using them in an everyday way. It's working. That's spiritual growth. What we want, what Tammy and I want in our work in the islands, is to make a work that will last. 1 Corinthians 2:14, if any man's work endures, well, we want a work that will endure for whenever we leave these islands. And in order to get that, there's got to be the spiritual growth. A congregation that's all babes in Christ, brethren, will have very difficult time whenever they don't have that leadership. But if they've grown spiritually, oh, then it will be there. Ben Osebek in Palau, he is growing spiritually. He's a prisoner. And it's the prisoners in Palau who do the wood carving. The Japanese taught them that in World War II so that their culture and history would not be lost with the war, which is what happened in Saipan. So they do this wood carving, and Ben is really a master carver. Notice the length of his shorts. The islanders are a very modest people, and they will not be seen without shorts that go all the way to their knee and a shirt on, even at the beach. It's really very nice. Ben is in prison, been there for 30 years. He's hoping to get out soon, but he cannot get out and come to the worship service on Sunday morning. And so we made application to get the Sunday night time slot in the prison to go in and have the worship services. And we got it, brethren, and we're so thankful for that. First of all, that it was available, and then that we were approved for it. It's really the only way that Ben can take the Lord's Supper with the church is by us going in there. So on Sunday nights, we're going into the prison, having that worship service, and we were having a great many visitors. Brethren, it was wonderful. It was wonderful. This is Noah Kimisong. I'll tell you about him in a minute. But brethren, it was great. We're having many visitors come, and here's what we do to get their attention and to get the Bible studies. We talk to them about the need to use the Bible only. The Bible only. You say, well, we all know that. Yes, it's old news for many people, isn't it? But you see, in the islands, all of the churches will say that they use the Bible only. But then we show them that that's not what they're doing. They'll have a president or a pope or another book or a modern-day prophet of some sort. And these churches elevate those teachings to the level of the Bible. And so we show them in the Word of God that there is no praying to Mary found in the New Testament. So we don't need to do that. Oh, this spurs their interest. There is not one of the modern-day prophets commanded in the late 1800s that their followers were going to wear the bloomer's dress. You remember that? Maybe pictures of it? It's long pants, baggy pants, and then a short dress over it. Well, she commanded that they were going to follow that. All the ladies of their denomination would wear that dress. And the ladies of that denomination rejected it. They didn't want to wear that dress. And so then she came out with another command and said, okay, we don't have to wear that dress. And this is all supposedly from the Lord. Well, we show them that's not in the Bible. And the Bible teaches that the New Testament is complete and we don't need any of those extra things. Well, now we've got their attention. And now they're asking questions. And brethren, that's the hook that we use to get the Bible studies and then lead them on into the church. Well, it was working. And it was happening there inside the prison with several visitors that we had coming. And then some of the prisoners got out of line in one of the other religious group services. And the guards cracked down on an old prison rule, which said they could only attend one religious group's services, the one they had indicated on their entry papers. And we lost all of our visitors, brethren, all of them. So pray for it for us, that door will open back up, that the guards will loosen up on that rule and let them be coming back, because there was sincere interest there. Well, until that happens, Ben and I have that 2-hour Sunday night time slot to use as we want to. And so we have the worship service, just he and I there have the worship service. And then we do a Bible study. Ben wants to preach whenever he gets out of prison. And so he picks a topic and we study it until he feels like he's mastered it. And brethren, he's no, what shall we say, he's no pushover. He's no easy sell on these things. He makes me prove it by the Word, which is exactly what we'd want him to do. And the last thing that we studied was premillennialism. We studied about how the church and the kingdom are the same. And he'd heard all the denominational teaching, and so this was some newer material for his mind. And after he made me prove it, brethren, he sat back and he said, wow, I never knew that before. Well, brethren, that's the spiritual growth. That's it happening. That's the developing of these brethren, and that's what will make the churches last. We're thankful for good hearts like Ben Osebeck. This is Noah Kimisong. He's another Palawan in the church there in Palau. Now we've got some video shots of Chuuk. But brethren, Noah is growing in the faith. He was baptized many years ago when he went to college in New Mexico. And then he went back to Palau and has been unfaithful in the church over really the last 20 years. Well, he has returned to the Lord. He repented and came back to the church. And he and I get together on Tuesday afternoons just to study together. He said, well, Joey, I thought he was already baptized. That's right. It's just for spiritual growth. And Noah has a sincere interest. He'll ask a Bible question. We go to the Bible for the answer. And one answer will spur on two more questions from him. And so it's growth and it's happening and he's growing. And we are thankful, brethren, for that good growth that's taking place. But we'd love to have you come. Come out to the islands on a 1 or 2 week campaign. But if you were to come, maybe there's a few things that I should tell you before you get there. First of all, in Palau, It's dial-up internet access. They have high-speed access, but brethren, it starts at $400 a month. High-speed access in Palau is dial-up access in Palau is $100 a month, and so that's what we have. So say goodbye to YouTube, and if you want an e-card, it'll take about 10 minutes to open, so just be patient. I should also let you know that there are free-range chickens in Palau. They do cockfighting, and so their roosters are very valuable to them, and they just wander wherever they want to go, and the chickens too. But that rooster, you know, he will not wait until 6 a.m. to crow if there's a street lamp outside. He may wander under your bedroom window at 2 a.m., do his cock-a-doodle-doo, and brethren, there's nothing that you can do about it. And you say, well, I'll kill me that rooster. You can't. He may belong to an important Palauan, and with a population of 21,000, it's all family-oriented. And if you offend the wrong man, brethren, you can be in big trouble. So that's something else to know. I should let you know that in our worship services there in Palau, our church building is 36 feet square, and we don't have any classrooms. And so Tammy teaches the one and only children's class in the back corner, while I teach the adult class up front. And sometimes after class, she'll come to me and she'll say, Joey, please talk a little more quietly because my children can't hear me teach even though I'm 2 feet from them because you're talking so loud. I said, okay, honey, I'll try. I should let you know that we don't have a song leader. We have a good man who tries. His name is Junie, and he's 21 years old. And I love Junie to death, brethren, and I would not say anything negative about him. But he's the only man who can do it that we've got, but he can't carry a tune in a bucket. Junie cannot sing. I love him. The man can't sing at all. Every verse starts on a different pitch. Now, that's not a preacher exaggeration. That's the truth. And many times in the middle of the verse, it'll switch to a different pitch. But I love him, brethren, and I wouldn't give him up for anything because without him, I'd have to do it. So God be thanked for Junie. Now, why am I telling you these things, these negative things about Palau? Because, brethren, it's just like the balcony and it's just like the airplane ride. And if we focus on the things that do not matter, and none of those things that I just told you matter at all, if we focused on those things that do not matter, then we might miss the good things. And you come out on a campaign with me, you might miss the good things of seeing these brethren growing in the faith, seeing their desire, seeing them bring those memory verses back to you and being able to say, yes, this growth is happening. And getting to see the church in its infant stages and the beauty that's there. Brethren, that's what's precious and that's what's beautiful. We want you to come and to see that with us. And so if you come, you'll be happy to do without McDonald's for a little while, or to struggle with the language barrier, or to deal with dial-up internet access. Because in the end, when you go back home, you will have received so very much more. Thank you for your good attention this morning.